Good morning, folks. The trade war is on. It's across the headlines this morning, Wednesday, the 4th of April, 2018. You can't miss it. But is this just a ruse to disguise the real cause of the rapid inflation in food prices that we're experiencing right now? Agricultural products being hit especially hard, and it's even being called Trump's trade war. So we're establishing that he is to blame for our food price increases. Also today, Italian asparagus harvests delayed over a month from their average start date. Australian fruit distributors trying desperately with their hail-damaged crops to convince consumers to eat it anyway. Expect to see more creative marketing campaigns to change consumer behavior and get them to adopt different standards for what they'll eat. Agriculture looking desperately to turn to alternatives, farmers in Africa increasingly employing hydroponics there as the losses continue to mount, and a fodder crisis strikes Ireland, where farmers are unable to obtain feed for their livestock. All of these expected signs of the grand solar minimum, which is intensifying. We're going to talk about all of this today on the Ice Age Farmer. This is Christian. And I'm really intrigued to see a new narrative being shaped here. We've seen food prices increasing across the world, serving sizes dropping, crop losses accelerating, and it couldn't be hidden forever. So now we have introduced Trump's trade war. It's his fault, and prices are rising. You're going to be paying more at the grocery store. Thanks, Trump. We have lined up this conservative nationalist to take the fall as the global economy experiences a complete collapse. And that's why we're seeing headlines like this out of USA Today. Here's headline. Here's how Trump's tariffs could have an impact on the food you eat.
New tariffs with regards to China can have a direct effect on agriculture and indirectly will make its way or can make its way to the consumer. Due to the tariffs, agriculture itself is a number one target for retaliation from other countries from around the world, because that is something that the U.S. does well with regards to production.
That's a choice quote. It doesn't really say anything except that it's going to affect you. That's probably why they used it. Now, a lot of the analyses do specify that prices in the U.S. will be going down, and that's why this is intended to hurt farmers. This is a move by the Chinese to attack Trump's voter base, the conservative farmers that support him, the heartland. But it is worth mentioning that the Chinese effectively just raised their own food prices. Mostly of that soy is going to feed pigs, which is going to affect their pork prices domestically. And indeed, we see here potentially risk sparking runaway food inflation as surging feedstock prices send pork prices through the roof. Not really consistent with what we'd seen otherwise from China building ghost cities in anticipation of coastal problems, securing the food production areas of Africa. It looked, in fact, the massive $1 billion geoengineering program to bring rain to areas that were going to be receiving drought. It looked to date as if China had been doing measures to protect against the changes of the grand solar minimum. But this is not in step with those other actions to effectively raise their own prices. And so I have to ask, is this a construct, a mechanism by which world food prices can rise and everyone can point the finger at this disruption in trade? The global trade, the globalized flow of goods was disrupted by that crazy man Trump. The scripting is there. In fact, it was already there, Trump having been blamed for more expensive vegetables after the immigration crackdown resulted in fewer migrant workers. So download that predictive programming into your brain. If food prices go up, it's Donald Trump's fault. Though it's also your fault, because climate change is also to blame for famine. Oh yeah, and also volcanic activity is going to go up, and that's our fault because we're melting the glaciers. And those earthquakes, those are going to increase significantly as well. Yes, in fact, the media has literally gone down the list of everything you would expect to experience in a grand solar minimum and crafted some alternate explanation, generally anthropogenic. It's a little ridiculous. But that is because they are actively trying to preclude you from reaching the correct conclusions. They are throwing you off the scent. They are censoring this information across social media. There are great things at stake here. All right, that's enough on their new alibi, their excuse for why your food prices will be rising. It's established now. That's pretty critical. Let's look back to Italy, where, as I mentioned, they were over a month behind the average harvest date for asparagus. That's 10 days later than last year. The produce was not available for Easter, despite lively demand. We had limited supplies. We're getting about 10 kilograms instead of 80 kilograms, although it's of good quality and healthy because low temperatures impede diseases and mold. There's the upside, is that you only get 12% of your harvest, but it's healthy. It doesn't have any mold on it. Note that Spain is late too. I'm sure I don't have to tell you that a whole month late because the soil is still cold and wet is a pretty significant problem. Cold and wet being the operative words that we are getting to be tired of by now, and we see them again here. Heavy rainfall and cold weather in Veracruz has made this year the worst since 2014 for limes, devastating the lime crop, dropping production by 50%. I'm only aware of this because I saw that taco stands were forced to replace their limes with lemons, which was greatly upsetting to the author of this piece from LA Taco, who went to investigate and learned that prices had gone from $10 to $15 up to $60 to $80 for a single case of limes. Demasiado. We also see that the citrus growers in Florida still haven't recovered from Hurricane Irma, and although they're doing better. And also, of course, now the trade war's on, and this is going to affect citrus. We can now just blame it all on Trump. We just rewrite it. It's Trump's fault now. It's really, I'm back to that narrative. It's really remarkable. In Australia, we're seeing damaged fruit enter the market. It's being sold with a marketing message here. We see here that the storm impacted the entire industry. 85 to 90% of South Australia's apples and pears are grown here and sustained some losses during the widespread hailstorms in October, and thus were born the superheroes, the guru pearer and battler pear, who insist that real goodness lies within. Don't judge a fruit by its cover. Pretty remarkable. And I don't think this is a bad thing. I mean, I think it's great. People shouldn't need to think that their fruit needs to look perfect. But I do think this is fascinating. And we're going to see more creative marketing to get consumers to eat different things. Watch. In Ireland, there's a shortage of fodder, which is leaving farmers low on options as to how to feed their livestock. We see here the lack of grass growth caused by huge rainfall and low temperatures, cold and wet. It's a nationwide problem, and it's really very serious. An immediate review of fodder supplies has been ordered by Minister of Agriculture Michael Creed, who's been accused of being severely out of touch, clueless with respect to normal farmers. High levels of rainfall, widespread flooding, and lack of grass growth due to cold temperatures, again we see, thousands of farmers have had to keep livestock indoors for far longer than usual. Good lord, there's so much other news, including a snowstorm in April in Saudi Arabia and the Arctic cooling. I can't even get to everything because there's an atmospheric river inbound here, and I gotta go take care of some stuff. I did want to mention, though, so as to end on a solutions-related note, that I saw this report coming out of South Africa where farmers were turning to hydroponics, which is perhaps no surprise given the drought there. This reinforces a message I put out a couple videos ago with an aquaponics video. Now, I do think aquaponics is a more sustainable solution than hydroponics, where you just, until the end of time, pour in nutrient chemical solutions that you buy from somewhere. I mean, that's not a sustainable solution, but aquaponics closes that loop and lets you just feed the fish, and you can grow or culture or whatever, get your fish feed from crickets. There's a number of ways you can feed your fish in a healthy enough way that you're also able to grow plants with the sunlight that's coming down. So this is a system that I really encourage you to check out, and hope that, if not aquaponics, some steps you are taking today and every day to ensure that you and your family are moving constantly in the direction of becoming more resilient, more anti-fragile, building a community, mapping a path forward, and sharing knowledge about the grand solar minimum. Let's keep at it. Please share this video and the news about what's going on, and support me on Patreon if you feel so inclined, patreon.com/iceagefarmer, or for a one-time donation, paypal.me/iceagefarmer. I appreciate it. Have a good one, folks.